Hello, everyone. I must tell you the rest of my experience with autism moms, but it's going to be more friendship based in this episode. Here is why I appreciate autism moms the most out of all the kinds of women in the world. I tried my best not to have favoritism because I understand how traumatic that can be of a concept, of a reality, but it was natural favoritism. That's something I can't help, because when I needed protection, kindness, sensitivity, sensibility, softness, tenderness, autism moms were the best at giving me these human needs of mine, because they put the most work in and they were the most pure-hearted towards me. They were the most down to earth, easy to talk to, cool to be around women that I've ever been around, or any other types of women. So I'm gonna tell you how autism moms feel about me as a whole, WHOLE. Then I'll tell you how I feel about them some more than I already have done. Well, autism moms like me because I don't treat, well, you know, let me reword that. Love. Love is stronger than like in this case. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as a tool for my purposes. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as lacking in autonomy and self-determination. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as lacking in agency and activity. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as interchangeable with parentheses other objects. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as lacking in boundary integrity and viable as neurodivergent parent somethings that are permissible to break up, smash, break into. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as though they could be owned, bought, and sold, such as slavery. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as though there is no need for concern for their experiences and their feelings. Autism moms love me because I don't give them the treatment of disposability. Autism moms love me because I don't do the treatment of them as identified with their bodies and their body parts. autism moms love me because I don't give them the treatment of trashing them. Autism moms love me because I don't give the treatment of them primarily in terms of how they look and how they appear to the senses. Autism moms love me because I don't give the treatment of them as if they are silent, lacking the capacity to speak. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as objects and as things. Autism moms love me because I am not disavowing their humanity. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as mere objects of sexual desire. Autism moms love me because I don't inspire the objectification of themselves, autism moms. So they never experience the objectification of oneself when it comes to me. Autism moms love me because I do not objectify their social relationships. Autism moms love me because I don't treat them as commodities and as objects without regard to their personality and dignity. Now, let me tell you why I love autism moms. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as an object nor a thing. I love autism moms because they do not disavow my humanity. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as a mere object of sexual desire. I love autism moms because I don't experience the objectification of myself, oneself, regarding them. I love autism moms because they do not engage in the objectification of my social relationships. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as a person, as a commodity, nor an object without regard to my personality and my dignity. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as a tool for their purposes. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as lacking in autonomy and self-determination. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as lacking in agency and activity. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as interchangeable with parentheses other objects. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as lacking in boundary integrity and inviolable as a autistic dude something that is permissible to break up, smash, break into. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as though I can be owned, bought, and sold, such as slavery. I love autism moms because they do not treat me as though there is no need for concern for my experiences and my feelings. I love autism moms because they don't give the treatment of me as identified with my body and my body parts. I love autism moms because they don't give the treatment of me primarily in terms of how I look and how I appear to the senses. And I love autism moms because they don't give the treatment of me as if I'm silent, lacking the capacity to speak. So in other words, autism moms are the best at protecting me from objectification. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from dehumanization. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from sexual objectification. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from commodification. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from self-objectification. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from reification. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from instrumentality. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from denial of autonomy. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from inertness. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from fungibility. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from violability. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from enslavement ownership. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from denial of subjectivity. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from reduction to body. Autism moms are the best at protecting me from reduction to appearance. And autism moms are the best at protecting me from silencing. So, a lot of autism moms will say that I am the best at protecting them from objectification. A lot of autism moms will say that I am the best at protecting them from dehumanization. A lot of autism moms will say that I am the best at protecting them from sexual objectification. A lot of autism moms will say that I am the best at protecting them from commodification. A lot of autism moms will say I'm the best at protecting them from self-objectification. A lot of autism moms will say that I'm the best at protecting them from reification. A lot of autism moms will say that I'm the best at protecting them from instrumentality. A lot of autism moms will say that I'm the best at protecting them from denial of autonomy. A lot of autism moms will say that I'm the best at protecting them from inertness. A lot of autism moms will say that I'm the best at protecting them from fungibility. A lot of autism moms will say that I'm the best at protecting them from violability. a lot of autism moms say that I'm the best at protecting them from enslavement ownership. A lot of autism moms say that I'm the best at protecting them from denial of subjectivity. A lot of autism moms say that I'm the best at protecting them from reduction of body. A lot of autism moms say that I'm the best at protecting them from reduction to appearance. And a lot of autism moms say that I'm the best at protecting them from silencing. I'll say this, autism moms are the best at protecting me from objectification. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from dehumanization. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from sexual objectification. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from instrumentality. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from denial of autonomy. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from inertness. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from fungibility. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from viability. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from enslavement ownership. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from denial of subjectivity. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from reduction to body. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from reduction to appearance. A lot of autism moms are the best at protecting me from silencing. That's how we feel about each other. Well, since I am finished reading, I'm going to talk from the top of my head, from the soul of my heart, the rest of this episode. No reading or writing anything. Here we go. When it comes to autism moms and myself, I've really learned how to understand that I always felt comfortable being married to one of them. My mom is autism mom herself, and my dad married my mother knowing that he would take care of my mother's older son, my older brother. So I've always felt comfortable dating, being engaged to, and marrying a single autism mom because I saw it firsthand. So I've always felt offended, and still do, when many people will say, I refuse to date a woman with kids. I refuse to be engaged to a woman with kids. I refuse to marry a woman with kids. Her motherhood does not make her a lousy wife. Her motherhood does not make her a lousy fiance, and her motherhood does not make her a lousy woman friend. I know that many autism moms don't like the concept of girlfriend, so that's why I say woman friend. I then thought to myself that for me, many people would say, what if there's baby daddy drama? Here's the thing. Autism moms from my experience, would never get with you and putting you in the middle of something that you don't deserve. So autism moms are big into, hey, before I settle down with the man of my needs, which is also the man of my dreams, that whatever issues between me and the baby father will be cleared up. And if he's dangerous, it'll be me, my man, my kids, and he's nowhere to be found. He can't contact us. He doesn't even know where we live. That's how autism moms by, you know, overall feel. So there wouldn't be any baby daddy drama because they would go, well, in order for me to have Antonio, this motherfucker gotta go. That's how they feel. And they would say, I will legally, you know, go to court to have us legally protected so we don't have any impending danger to worry about. So I don't worry about baby daddy drama. When you pick somebody of substantive quality, there's no such thing as baby daddy drama that I gotta be fearful of. And some people would say, but what if he gets jealous? I really don't care, because he can be jealous away from us and the courts will keep him away from us. That's how it is. Now with autism moms too, and I really do feel this way, that I don't mind being the father of their kids, because knowing autism moms, they really don't like when people call the new man step daddy or stepfather, because in their mind, no, he's 100% the father. He's doing everything a good father is supposed to be doing. So the word step is basically a slur to them. So I wouldn't be going around saying stepdaddy or stepfather to them. And I wouldn't go around saying, oh, he's basically like the foster father, adoptive father. Those are other slurs to them. Just telling you the mindset of autism moms I know. And, you know, autism moms, if I, you know, more than likely, I think I'm going to end up with one. Because they really, really are attracted to me, really attracted to them. So there's a strong possibility that I'm going to have an autism mom as a life partner. And I feel that some people would say, but, you know, Antonio, but kids are expensive. My response is that I am of economic integrity and so is she. So when you have two people with economic integrity, we don't spend too much, we don't spend too little, we don't save too much, we don't save too little. And it would feel like it's even more expensive for us not to be family, not to have each other. So I don't worry about those things, because when you have the love of your life with you and we're both wise with finances, and plus she's going to marry somebody who's entrepreneurial minded. So I would be helping out with creating side hustles for us, legally speaking, legal side hustles. And I would find ways that we can make online money as a family, where, you know, we could start a blog or have a website and we could just get proper help in driving traffic to our website. That way we split the money. Half goes to me and half goes to her. So I'll give you an example. If we make about, let's say, we make about $2,000 a week. Let's say our blog is so popular, we get $2,000 a week at one point. $1,000 goes to me, the other $1,000 goes to her. We would split it every time. It's like, okay, you know, that's going to be like something that can sustain us. That way, we're not trying to take care of kids on our own. We can definitely have the proper community support. Now, the autism moms, too, I know that we would definitely be sex-positive parents. We would be body-positive parents. In terms of talking to our children about healthy body image and healthy sexuality, as they're commonly called, I think that's something we would do. We would teach bodily integrity, bodily autonomy, guarding our minds, guarding our hearts. We would definitely teach our children that. And some people would say, but Antonio, didn't you say it would be child free? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I say what I feel at the time, but as I've gotten older and I've learned more about my giftings and my callings, I have to consistently be an advocate and activist for children. So, I definitely will have to raise children. There's no loopholing that it's inevitable, and there's no escaping it. 'Cause at the time, I'm like, I don't mind raising people's kids, and I had to learn I can't have the mindset of it's their kids. I have to have the mindset of it's our kids. So, I'm not totally child-free after all. Usually when people say they're child-free means they're not impregnating anybody. While some people who are child-free, like I don't have biological kids, but I don't mind having foster adoptive kids. At the time, my mindset was, you know, I'm not doing any kind of parenting. And then I've learned that that is totally unrealistic, because when you deal with autism moms, you have to deal with the children. Plus, what happened to me as a child, a lot of parents are going to be like, Antonio, we need your help in terms of child rearing. So, I'm not sure if I'll ever have biological kids, but with autism moms, a lot of them are going to want to have, they're going to be like, well, if we're going to get, a lot of autism moms want to have more kids, which means they want biological. So I have to really work that out with them on how we're going to go about that. I mean, I tell you what I learned at the time. That's what I do. I have a lot of responsibilities, and a lot of my responsibilities, most of them, and a lot of my duties, most of them include children and families. Adults are included too. I'm just saying that children are the biggest priority. So with autism moms, for me, a lot of them, most of them, are people of faith, women of faith. I mean, most of them practice Christianity, so most of them are Christians. So you're probably wondering, well, Antonio, do you think that a Christian autism mom will go through? I would say yes, because I can explain to her my entire life, and I can explain that, you know, I can explain that I grew up Christian, and that the way that I treat her and other women she'll feel like, well, he definitely has the spirit of Jesus in him. It's going to work between us, right? So I feel like, so if you're probably wondering, what if an autism mom, she goes to church and all that stuff? Well, I can tell her what made church difficult for me. That's not telling her to stop going. I'm pretty sure she will definitely understand, because autism moms understand that a lot of times that church is not easy for people on the spectrum, or their children or adults on the spectrum. You know, she would definitely understand. And whatever church she would go to, I would feel like, I feel like her church would definitely be embracing of me. Because I don't think she would ever go to a church that's of ableism, of disability discrimination. I don't think that'll ever happen. I would never pick someone that would put me in an environment knowing that it's bigoted towards my community. That's also being bigoted towards her, because it's her community too, even though she is an autism mom. But still, you raise people on the spectrum. So I feel like I don't worry about that. Now, some people would definitely go this route, and I know how a lot of people feel when you bring up religion. Somehow they put sex in there. They always do this. So they'll probably be like, Antonio, what if she wanted to wait till her wedding night to have sex with you? Honestly, I would tell her that I would be honest about when I'm in love with somebody. My libido is always high for them. In this case, her. She's the only one that'll be always high for, in terms of my libido, sex drive in layman's terms. And, you know, I would tell her that, I'm not a sexual harasser. I'm not a street harasser either. I'm very much a Me Too movement member, and I'm proud of it. What I would say is that I am extraordinarily, extremely affectionate when I'm in love. And that, I would say, honestly, I don't want to lie to you, so I can promise to do that, because I know how my biology works. It happens when I love somebody, I'm in love with somebody. It's difficult beyond measure and beyond compare to not caress you, not to touch you, not to feel you, not to penetrate you, not to kiss you, not to consensually fondle you. And I would tell her that, you know, I would be honest with her and say, well, the security that you need in terms of me not being a wham bam thank you ma'am, we would say, you both know I'm not that guy. You know, we both know that I'm not the hit it and quit it kind of guy either. I'm only talking about if I'm in a serious relationship. This is how I operate. And I would say, well, you know that I would not go around blabbermouthing and, you know, whatever we sexually do or don't do. And I would say, I would say that I mean you no harm. And I would tell her, I'm not really trying to change her mind about this. I would just be honest with her about me. Like, you know, I don't have a problem with absence till wedding night in terms of people doing that. I would just say for me that I feel that the security that's needed is more about how we consistently treat each other. Because everyone has diverse sexual security. Some people feel like, well, because this person treats me like royalty, I don't mind having unmarried sex with them. And there's some people like, well, he does treat me like royalty, but I feel better having sex with my husband than somebody that isn't. And for me, I feel like when somebody treats me like royalty, I honestly don't mind having unmarried sex with them, because I know that they wouldn't damage my body, they wouldn't damage my soul, they wouldn't damage my heart, they wouldn't damage my memories, they wouldn't damage my mind. So that's personally how I feel. It's like, I know that I'm already married to this person in my heart, so that's why I would share everybody with a person like that. I feel like marriage starts in the heart. For some people, they want marriage in the heart and on the wedding ring. And some people feel like, well, the wedding ring is in our soul because of how we consistently are faithful to one another. So I would talk to her about these things, and, you know, I would feel like, honestly, I would tell her that I don't know how to sexually understand you if we don't have sex. Not trying to coerce her. I don't think I am coercing her. What I'm saying is that, well, I'm a visual learner. I can hear it, but I need to see it. Like, if you're telling me your sexual pet peeves and you're telling me your sexual must-haves, I have to have it up close and personal so I can fully comprehend what you're saying. I would say I'm a mixture of visual kinesthetic. Not only do I need to see it with my eyes, I need to feel it with my hands. You know, I need to feel it with my genitalia so I can also best remember what you're talking about. I don't think she would be offended, because she knows that I'm not even psychologically manipulating her. She knows that I'm not even trying to psychologically manipulate her. It's just kind of like, well, I do want to comprehend. These are the best ways for me to comprehend. And I feel like, you know, it'd be a lot easier for me to be happy and joyful to say I do on our wedding day. Because I would know for absolute certain that, okay, you've mastered my body, I've mastered your body. When I say mastered, I'm not talking about enslavement nor bondage. I'm talking about, okay, I please your body 100%. You please my body 100%. Okay, I know how your heart, mind, soul, and memories work when it comes to sex. And you know how my heart, mind, soul, and memories work when it comes to sex. We both fully know how all that goes about. I'm just telling you, what it's like for me to be in, love and to love somebody. It's like every time I look at her, she would make me horny. That's how I am in a serious relationship. And I would always be undressing her when we are alone for long extended periods of time. That's how I would be. I'm like, well, you're my one and only. I want us to be yummy and delicious and tasty while we poetically devour one another. That's just how I am. And I feel like for me, I prefer autism on a high sex drive, because I'm not saying a low sex drive is bad, it's good. A lot of times people think a low sex drive is always bad. No. Some people just naturally have low sex drives, and that's awesome. And I say that non-sarcastically. For me, I prefer to have somebody high sex drive, because if they have a low sex drive, I would honestly feel like I just couldn't live with the sexual tension. And I couldn't live with the sexual frustration too, because it's like, well, that, you know, innately I want to be as naked as humanly possible every chance we get, me and her, in terms of our committed relationship, our exclusive relationship, our monogamous relationship, our romantic relationship. And basically, when I'm in love with somebody, I want to sleep with them as much as I can. Not from a death wish standpoint, but not from a live fast, die young, self-destructive behavior standpoint, but from a, she's my queen of our castle, and she's my royal, your highness. I want to be at her beck and call, I want to wait on her hand and foot, I want to kiss the ground she walks on. And I want to be her personal masseuse and always give her spa treatments. That would be me. And I feel like I feel like for me too, that, and I'm not disrespecting people wait till marriage to have sex, I'm just being honest about my erotic intricacies, my sexual intricacies, my sensual intricacies, my romantic intricacies, my social intricacies, and my interpersonal intricacies. That's just how it is for me. I feel like, too, that many people would ask me this other difficult question. They would ask me, Antonio, you said you're heteroflexible. Do you think autism mom would still go for you? Well, you know, I would tell her that I would just be honest with her about my sexual history. Be like, this is what happened. Like I said in the last episode, I was like, this is what happened. And there is no worrying about being cheated on. Because, and I would say it, and I've been saying it in some episodes, I'm not the person to cheat with, and I'm not a cheater. And I would say, when I'm in love with somebody, I don't entertain anybody else. And when I'm in love with somebody, I don't do comparisons. When I'm in love with somebody, there is no grass is greener on the other side. When I'm in love with somebody, I'm not oogling or staring at anybody else. When I'm in love with somebody, I don't have any wandering eyes. When I'm in love with somebody, I don't do reckless eyeballing. And plus, I would say that I'm 98% attracted to women. 0.01 and the other 0.01 is for, you know, the gender nonconforming and dudes, but those are rare occurrences. That's what heteroflexibility means to me. That's that. Now you get the whole 100% being covered. I would say to her, you know, the trauma I went through, as you know, did not make me LGBTQI+. You know, the fact that I'm most attracted to women, that tells you something right there. It, you know, I would say that I wouldn't try to push her to go along with it, because I'm not that kind of person. Because I respect if she's like, I need a fully heterosexual man. I respect that. I would not be offended. I would not be hurt. Because, hey, some people are not into certain things, and I don't try to force nor push anything on a person that is clearly not right for them. But I think she would have a high respect for me that I didn't lie to her. I did not deceive her. I didn't play games with her. I didn't give her the runaround. I didn't sugarcoat. I wasn't rude nor disrespectful either. And I would tell her, I would say, you know, a lot of people on the autism spectrum are of gender and sexual diversity. But I wouldn't have to really tell her much, because autism moms, they understand that. They understand their kids. So I would explain that to her, like, you know, if my promiscuous sexual history really bothers her, I would definitely apologize, knowing that, yes, what happened back then was because of the trauma. And I would say, I'm apologizing for us on giving us the apology that the traumatizers will never give us. I would say that particular hypersexuality was due to the criminal upbringing of my boyhood that I was forced to have. And I would say, honey, I'm sorry for us. I apologize for us. I have remorse for us. I have regret for us. And I would tell her, if I could lose my virginity I would only lose it with you. And I would tell her, I wish you were my one and only sex partner I ever had in life. And I would say, I hope you feel the same way about me too. And I would tell her, don't ever regret the kids that you have. You know, we're not saying that they're not beautiful gifts, but we would tell each other, you know, I wish I was the biological father. And I know she would feel that way too. That doesn't mean that in a lot of ways that I'm not the father, because they're like, well, you practically are the biological father because you're everything he's not. You're doing everything he doesn't do. So in a sense, you are that. But she would be like, I really get what you're saying, and I get it too. Honestly, I would tell her that, you know, I would say, like, let's say she has a sexual history because that's how her autism offspring got here. And I would really tell her, you know, I really wish that I was the first and only person to ever make you come. And she would definitely say, I feel the same way about you too. That's not to shame each other for having sex with somebody else or others before we got together. But when you really love somebody, sometimes you're gonna feel that way. And that doesn't mean that you berate each other for, hey, sexually, this is how I was brought up, this is what happened. And knowing her, she'd be like, well, at the time, I didn't see any red flags. And, you know, by the time I was pregnant, I started seeing it. So we would have that compassionate talk about sexual history. It'd be like, you know, if she had a sexual history that bothered me in terms of, wow, I didn't know that there was sexual dysfunction in your life. There was sexual dysfunction in my life. Sexual dysfunction meaning giving bad messages about sex. That we were taught. And I would say, you know, in order for me to embrace you, I have to embrace your sexual past despite everything that happened. Embracing sexual past means I don't hold it against her. And she wouldn't hold my sexual past against me. That's why we would embrace each other's sexual past, is what that means. And I would say, as for dating history, I truly don't have any. And I would tell her, even though I was with a lot of women in my undergraduate years, that's not real dating. I thought it was, but I never went on a real date. I never been on a date in my life. She probably, autism moms have. I can't think of an autism mom that I've ever met that doesn't have a dating history. And she would probably, I'd be like, well, you have more expertise in that area than I do. You would have to show me the ropes on how dating works, because I've never been on one. So in terms of what to wear and what to say, what not to say, and what not to wear, and how to behave myself on a date and how not to behave myself on a date, you would have to be the ringleader on those things, because I've never brought anybody home to my parents. The only date I ever had in life was a prom date. She was my elementary school friend. That was the only date I ever had in life. I would tell her, I'd be like, I know how to be chivalrous, I know how to be a gentleman, I know how to treat a lady, I know how to treat a woman, I know, but there are things about dating I don't know that you know. I would be like, okay, you have to teach me how to pick the right spots for dating, because I have ideas, but you know for certain. So I would say you have to take the lead on these things. And I would say, how do we go on date nights if you're autism mom? Because a lot of autism moms don't trust babysitters. And I would say, where did I leave off? Okay, I remember. I would feel like when it comes to autism moms, they don't really trust people with their children. So babysitters is a difficult subject for them, because she would definitely understand when I tell her about my childhood that many people are predatory against neurodiverse kids, against kids with all kinds of disability labels. So I would say, how do we have our couples time? Where are the children going to be? There are times we need to be alone. And she would probably say, well, I have a good friend that I trust, or a good family member that I trust, that can watch the kids for us, and say, and they understand that, you know, I need them to watch the kids because I'm going to spend time with Antonio. I need my time with him. And I would say, okay, that is fabulous and fantastic. And I would say, tell me what to wear. As I'm like, again, I don't fully know the dating world like that. I'm like, okay, you pick out my outfits. You pick out what type of hygiene I should be doing. You have to pick out my whole shoes, my boxers, underwear, my dress pants, khakis. I'm like, you have to basically, when we're out in public, everything you wear and I wear is because of what you picked. So each day you have to pick what I wear, and you have to make sure that whatever you pick for the date, you have to fully like it, you know. And I'll tell her, I'd never really split the bill with a woman before, because I would tell her when I was an undergraduate, women would always pay for me. I'm like, I don't know how to truly, like, I would tell her I only may have paid the bill for a woman one time, when I took somebody who I felt like was a mother figure to me to the DC Improv. I may have paid once. I helped her with parking, and I, you know, from my bank card, and I paid both of our meals. Only paid for a woman once in my life. So I would tell her, I don't know what it's like to pay for a woman multiple times. And I would say that, how does that work? Okay. In terms of suggesting orders from the menu, okay, what do I pick? How do I suggest that in a gentlemanly way? How do I suggest what I eat in a lady-like way? I don't really know. I don't have a lengthy history of these things. Dating wasn't something very encouraged in my life when it came to me. The only thing that was highly encouraged was being married. When you're in the church world, marriage is something highly prized to do. sometimes they will take a part of the scripture and say, be fruitful and multiply, even though being fruitful and multiplying is not for everybody. And in layman's terms, not everybody's supposed to be a parent. Some people should be totally child-free because not everybody's good at parenting. Not everybody has a skill set of a parent. And in the church world, that is very much frowned upon to even admit and say such things. And also in the church world, marriage is something that many of them believe that everybody should have. Everybody should have a spouse. And because, well, partly because of human sexual biology, and they feel like, well, it shows that you take a man seriously if you're a woman, or you take a woman seriously if you're a man. But if you just date them and that's it, that's considered iniquitous to the church community. So I remember growing up, you know, just feeling a sense of pressure back then. So with an autism mom, I would tell her my sensitivities and she would understand. I would even think when I talk with her to also understand that we're always going to be improving our sensitivities to one another. Each and every day and each and every night. And I feel the need to say this too. When it comes to I would say that whenever I would speak with her, I would say, well, I have not been able to really uncle like I would want to. You know, I would tell her that my brother, removed me from his life because he's very staunch of a Christian, and my rainbow living doesn't fly with him, so he kicked me out of his life because of that, and therefore I don't see my niece nor my sister-in-law's wife, and I don't see my in-laws as a result on that side of the family. And I would say I've just never been able to uncle for very long. I would say you're really teaching me how to be a parent. I have solid ideas, but you're really showing me the ropes on what it means to be a consistent father figure in the lives of children. I would say, honey, or I don't know if she wants me to call her honey. I'm just using a common romantic example. I would say, like, for example, honey, you're really leading us. And I would also be able to lead her on a lot of things in terms of spectrum knowledge. She would lean on me in terms of how do I be a good woman to a black man. She would be leading. I would be leading her. So she would lead me on dating and like romance and how to be a parent and you know, teaching me how to be a good man to her. And she would lean on me on one last thing, like how to be a good woman to somebody, a man who's been abused in his past, right? So those kind of things we would be, like, tag-teaming or leading each other on these things. Now, I know that's a very loaded, sensitized subject of a topic. I'm not going to enforce that I be the leader of the household, leader of the relationship, and leader of the sex we have. Many men do that. That's just not me. That would be something she would have to initiate of a discussion with me if she feels like I need you to lead in all three things. I need you to lead our home. I need you to lead our family. Well, four things, actually. I need you to lead our relationship, and I need you to lead in the sex. If she's into that, then I will go in that direction. If she's like, I need you to lead in two things, the home and the family. As relationship, I want to co-lead. In the sex, I want to co-lead. I'm just giving you examples. Like, if she wanted to say, well, lead in at least one of these things, or, you know, we co-lead in all four, all three, or all two, or just one, I would say, okay, what do you want to lead on, and what do you want me to lead on in terms of four, these four things? And we would have to agree on all four. So that's how I am in relationships. Now, there's this controversy that many people bring up in such a distasteful way. Not every woman that calls her man daddy is because of daddy issues. Here's how it works. Many women do it from a healthy self-esteem vantage point of he makes the little girl in me happy, protected, and of a peace of mind. That's what some women mean when they say that. They're not trying to replace their biological fathers. It's coming from a place of relaxation. Some men call the woman mama, not because of mommy issues, because, hey, she makes the little boy and me happy, protected, and peace of mind. It's coming from a place of relaxation. And it's coming from a healthy self-esteem vantage point. And so many people ask me, what if you are with an autism mom and she referred to you as daddy, right? How would you feel, Antonio? I wouldn't pick someone that hated themselves, and I wouldn't pick someone that is controlled by trauma complexes, so it wouldn't bother me at all. that's something she wants to do that helps her out, I refuse to stop her. But what if you call her mommy? Nah, you know, she wouldn't mind, because that in her mind, she likes that, and it comes from she knows I don't hate myself. She knows I don't let trauma complexes control me, so it wouldn't bother her at all. Now, I feel like, and she knows I'm not trying to replace my biological mother, so she really wouldn't be bothered by it. Now, when I think about, like, first, autism moms, I can say these things because I've actually had these kinds of conversations with them. I really have. And you know, we would have to, like, whenever I talk to autism moms about this, they really enjoyed these talks. So everything I'm saying to you, I know they would appreciate, because this is what we said to each other in real life. So I'm just giving y'all what was said. And everything I tell you about autism moms, no one's privacy confidentiality is violated, by the way. I just want y'all to know. But let's continue the discussion. So, in terms of my times with autism moms too, this is what I can definitely tell you. I feel a sense of peace, and about the fact that they always talked about how they said, because sometimes they would ask me the pain I've ever suffered in life, and I would allude to what happened, but I wouldn't say much about it. But autism moms are very sensitive souls, very gentle souls. And I say that respectfully. They truly are. I remember that they told me that they would definitely start a tradition of protecting me. And I do believe them. Actually, I know that they're right. And the way I would talk about it, it would be, well, every sex crime you could think of happened, or I was exposed to all kinds of violence that happened to me, and that's as far as I would take it. I summed up everything in short amount of complete sentences, and they cried, I cried, and wiped each other's faces. It was that emotional for us. Kleenex, tissue, what have you. And they said that, they told me, I want to be your woman, and I want to be motherly to my man, and I want my man to be fatherly towards me, because we, you know, there's a little girl in me, there's a little boy in you. And they said, me and my people are going to look out for you. We're going to do everything that your family should have done but didn't do for various reasons that you and I have discussed. So I feel like she would be leading me in terms of how to be physically, spiritually protected. And I'd be leading her in terms of showing her how survivors need their our trauma triggers honored. That's how it would be with her And that's how she would be with me. I'll say this though. I'm just really happy to know that there is somebody out there for me. There are, and it's an autism mom, and you know, I feel like to have my autism mom options is just, it gives me a sense of exhilaration and elation. I feel like I don't think we would never purposely hurt each other, because in relationships require grace, mercy, forgiveness, redemption. And putting the ways of childhood behind us. But we would never give each other anything big to forgive. We would give each other like minor things to forgive. I appreciate you all for hearing me out for sure.